Joining me in studio, Mr. John Toogood. We're just, John, hello.
Hey, how you going?
I'm really awesome. Listening to that song gives me shivers up my spine or in my belly or something like that.
Yeah, that was actually, I think we were just hearing it then, like hearing those keyboards at the end, that reminds me we were just listening to heaps of Skeptics Amalgam at the time, and it was like, that was just like trying to go for that big epic keyboard thing that they did, you know, like, but yeah, it does, it still sounds really good to me after, like, well, I don't know how many years is it, 1996?
So when, was it on Killjoy?
It was on Killjoy, yeah.
Killjoy, you know, released in 1995.
Oh, 95, there you go, so even older than what I thought, so.
I've got you in the studio this morning because the Meanest Hits She Had, a Best Of compilation, has just been released today.
Yeah.
Fancy that. Is that quite weird, a Best Of compilation coming
out? It is. I mean, but we have been hassled for a long time to release the Greatest Hits, we've managed to not do one. And I think, you know, most bands by 8 albums would have released the Greatest Hits, you know.
How many years has it been? 21?
23, actually.
23?
Yeah, 23 years.
Crazy.
It's insane.
So can we take a step back, 23 years, take your mind back. Mm. How long did it take? You guys obviously had rehearsed in the studio for a while. How long did it take from rehearsing and practicing before you took She Had out to the stage and to the public?
I think we were like rehearsing up at Tom's parents' house for quite a while, anywhere we could really, because in Wellington back at that point there weren't many rehearsal spaces and stuff, so we just have to just find where we could, you know, just someone's house and stuff until we got, you know, noise complaints, then stop and then go to the next person's house. And then, I don't know, I mean, we practiced. We had a show at a high school fair at a church, just down the road from Wellington High School. That was our first ever show, and it lasted for about 2 songs before the PA blew up, which was weird because we were actually singing, we're doing a cover of the Sex Pistols' Anarchy in the UK, I think.
At a church?
Yeah, at a church.
Maybe so, it was Jesus
and
it actually did.
The PA blew up after the line, I am an Antichrist. So that was like really cool. And I thought, wow, I still don't believe, but that's cool. And then we started playing with punk rock bands, actually, at the Clarendon Tavern, which is now Molly Malone's on Taranaki Street in Wellington. It was the only gigs we could get because all the metal bands back then at that point were sort of more hard rock. And we were sort of like going, we were doing that fast, thrashy sort of speed metal thing, that which is more like sort of hardcore-y sort of stuff. And the only bands that would play with us were sort of hardcore bands, you know, like who'd we play with? Punk rock bands, local bands and stuff, you know.
Because your first album, Churn, that was quite different to any of your other albums, wasn't it? It's a lot more...
Yeah, it's sort of industrial. I mean, we were listening to a lot of, like, Skinny Puppy and Ministry, and we just started listening to New Zealand bands like The Skeptics and stuff, but we'd sort of still... we'd come out of, like... It was totally weird. We came out of, like, speed metal and metal, like Slayer and Metallica and fast sort of hard stuff. And then sort of got shown by our manager at the time, Gerald Dwyer. He took us to bands like Headless Chickens around the time they did sort of Gas Cranking Station and Skeptics and Bowder Space. And then also we were listening to, by the time Churn came out, we were listening to things like, Ministry, Nine Inch Nails, a lot of industrial sort of metal. So we were starting to play with samplers and stuff like that. And yeah, so that was our first album.
Because the record interest came quite quickly. Were the record companies interested before the release or around the release of Churn? Or?
We got signed to Pagan Records by Trevor Reeky for the first EP. So we'd built this sort of following just by being this speed metal band around the place and just playing shows and playing shows. And then we did this, we self sort of funded an EP ourselves, Devolve, just from what we made at these shows, you know, and sunk all the money straight back into a recording where we did 4 songs. And so we paid for it ourselves, then shopped it round, and then got signed to Pagan Records. And
in the progression from Pagan Records, because then it was Wildside after that.
Then it was Wildside with Murray Kamak,
That was quite a... You sort of... built that label, you sort of strengthened that label.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was sort of like when we got signed, it was some Auckland sort of rock bands. It was like Rumblefish and what else was it? I can't remember. Stuff. Oh, Pumpkinhead. Oh, no, they came a bit later, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was, sort of like us and Head Like a Hole, really, from Wellington. because between Churn, between Devolve, our EP, and Churn, Headlocker Hole came up and they did their album. So that we were jealous of them because they got an album out before we did, even though we'd started before they did.
Yeah.
So there was this real rivalry, but we were all friends sort of thing going on. So we're trying to, it was all one-upmanship, you know. So then we did Churn, and then we were signed to the same label as them. I think they were signed to Wildside before us, you know.
And then what made you leave Wildside and go to Warner Music?
What was happening? I mean, this is quite a bit later in the sort of piece. I mean, we did, you know, Killjoy as well with Wildside, and then it was like we started, you know, traveling around the world and stuff like that. And I mean, I think Warner Brothers just offered us a really good chance to sort of break into Australia and break into sort of Europe and stuff like that, which I think, you know, with Wildside it was, Murray was awesome, but it was just very localized to New Zealand, and we always had, you know, grand plans of taking our music as far around the world as possible, you know. So when Warner's came along, it was like, yep, sweet, let's do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the compilation released as well through Warner's.
Yeah.
Who came up with the title, The Meanest Hits?
I think Tom suggested it, our drummer. It was just like, oh, yeah, because some of the stuff was pretty mean, you know. And it was sort of, I mean, it's pretty funny. I think it's quite a funny name, but I'm pretty happy that no one else has got it.
And who chose the track listing? Because was it based on a, like, public voting or something like that?
Yeah, well, it was actually based on sort of three things. Firstly, we'd had to take into account what the singles were off all the records.
Yeah, of course.
That was, I mean, because we've got, eight studio records now, so it's a lot of stuff to go through. So we went through, what are the singles off each of the records? Oh, yeah, that's cool. I like that. Oh, yeah, I don't like that. I like that. Don't like that. I like that. And then sort of made a list of that. And then we also did this thing where it was like we asked our fans on the net what they liked. And
Home Again was number one by far.
Yeah,
for them,
it was
wasn't
by
it?
Far. Yeah, yeah. And then followed by three songs off the General Electric, you know, then followed by a song off Killjoy, which I was quite happy about, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, like, every album sort of represented by the fans, you know, like, it's really, really cool. There's not a period which hasn't been sort of, I mean, Home Again, I remember that's off the Fish album, which was universally hated at the time when it came out.
Was it?
Yeah, I remember because we were really known for Killjoy, like this wall of sound, and then we did this poppy-ass record. But, I mean, that's Sheehard through and through, you know. We just do what we want to do at the time. You know, at that point, after that really heavy metal record, we did this pop record, you know. And now it's funny,
because the Fish one seems to be one of the most popular ones in a sense, that lots of old school fans,
only,
you know,
in retrospect. But at the time, we copped a lot of shit for it, you know. And it was like, I remember our audiences dropped by sort of half at that point live, you know. Like, it was really quite full on. Like, it was quite a bad reaction to that record at the time. But then people came around to it later, you know, like.
Crazy.
We've always done what we wanted in the end. I mean, it's been a pain in the ass, but it's like, I think that's why the band's still together ultimately, you know, because we've always just done what we wanted, you know, and kept things sort of moving and done it on our own sort of terms, you know.
If you've just tuned in, John Toogood joins me in studio, celebrating 23 years. They've finally announced or released a greatest hits or
the meanest hits.
The what? Did you say the meanest hits?
Meanest hits.
Of course, that's what it's called. Meanest hits today, out today. There's a standard edition, which I'm holding in my hands, but I'm actually really excited to finally see the limited deluxe edition, because that's got what? Lots of B-sides.
It's got 38 tracks, and it's basically out. It's like a mixture of singles, band favourites, fan favourites, and live favourites.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, the thing is, the songs we play live tend to be the band favourites anyway, and a lot of fan favourites. So, I mean, we had to that was the sort of thing. It was like, we have to find a compromise between these three things, and I think we did quite a good, I mean, there was only about two or three songs which we fought over, but, yeah. It's weird when you've got eight records, even though you've got two CDs to put it on, it's like, which is a lot, you know. You're still going, but what about, you can't put that song on if you're not that song.
Yeah, of course.
So we had a few of those little arguments, but it was actually, on a whole, we had quite a consensus between the band, and it was good, yeah.
We're going to play Bitter.
Yeah.
Can I let you introduce this one?
Okay, so this is, I remember this one because I always listen to it and go, where's the vocals? Because the vocals are actually, the song's actually quite good. But at the time, we were listening to My Bloody Valentine, Loveless Heaps. And if you listen to that record, it's the guitars that are the most prominent thing. And that's what we wanted to do. So that's why you can't hear the vocals. But please enjoy.
John Toogood joins me in the studio. We're talking about a new Shehead album that is out today. It's The Meanest Hits.
Or was it Mean As Tits?
Or the Mean As Tits. We like that one too. Someone just texted in, great to hear Bitter, first year art school, freedom, girls, drugs and good times.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you, you were talking about Shehead tracks you don't like.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and you obviously don't play them in your set if you don't like them.
Yeah.
What ones don't you like?
Because I don't spend much time thinking about our sort of back catalogue, because I'm always thinking about the next Shehead record. Like I was sort of saying to you before, it's like as soon as we don't start, as soon as we're not feeling a song live, it just goes out of the set, you know? It's just like, so we never really spend much time, I never really spend much time thinking about songs I don't really like.
So we won't hear the ones you don't like in your set?
You just won't, because it's just like this. Like an hour, that hour's too precious to us to waste time playing a song we don't like. You know?
Are you going to be doing announcing a tour anytime soon? I guess you're not going to tell me if you're.
Not for a little while. I don't think, you know. Tom's busy in Australia producing bands. I mean, I'm sort of still doing the adultsy stuff and. What else? I mean, I'm actually going to sit, go and hang out with my family for a little bit. You know, like, I haven't done that for a while. I've had a really busy year and I've really enjoyed it, but I've been really loving music, which is great. But yeah, I want to see my family a little bit for the end of the year and stuff.
Of course.
Then, you know, like, we've got Coro Gold. We're playing, Coro in Whirianga, I think, at the end of the year. And then, also Homegrown, I think, you know.
Of course.
I think we will do a tour around New Zealand, but not just yet, not before Christmas. No.
Yeah. Favourite Shehead album?
I think it's really hard for me. It's always between General Electric and Killjoy. Like, they're the two records where I think we're the most focused. I mean, I have probably more favourite songs on other records, like... On each album, there's always a couple of songs. Even Pacifier, like, I still love Run, you know. I love playing that song. Always makes me feel good, you know. But as albums, I think General Electric and Killjoy are the most focused, you know.
Do you regret changing the name to Pacifier?
Totally. Yeah. I regret it as soon as we did it, you know.
Did you?
I mean, like, it was 6 months, you know, keeping people off my back in while living in America, saying, no, I'm not doing it, you know, and then... just sort of giving in after 6 months of being battered by people saying you've got to do it. And as soon as it was changed, I hated it. I mean, I hated the idea in the first place, yeah. You know. But it was one of those situations where both options to me were sort of bad, you know, like keep the name the same and sort of say goodbye to the American sort of dream of like touring and releasing a record. And because, I mean, that's actually literally what it meant at that time in history.
Of course, yeah.
It just wasn't going to have a chance, you know, and it wasn't going to come out. And it was like, nah, I want to see what it's like, you know. It was one of those childhood dreams that was sitting there, and the only way we could have it is to compromise and change our name. And it really sucked for me. Like, it really sucked for all of us, you know.
Why did you go Pacifier? Why didn't you go, you know, the black, I don't know, why didn't you make
something completely different?
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
The thing is, we'd built this name up for years and years and had like a following, and it's like in Europe, not only New Zealand but Australia and Europe, and you know, and it was like our record, well, Pacifier was probably the most recognised song at that point.
Oh,
you know, it was
right,
just like,
of course,
let's just try and, you know, at least have people know who this band was. But it's just every name that was suggested was
lame.
It was just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
You know? It just didn't feel right. And it was like, I think Carl suggested it sort of tongue in cheek, you know, just to get people off our backs, you know. And it was sort of an in joke, but at the same time, it was like, it just felt weird, you know. And I mean, we did it for 2 years, and in some ways, it sort of galvanized the band. And I think we played some of the meanest live shows at that point, you know, because we were copping so much shit from people for compromising. It was like, people were sort of overlooking the fact that, yeah, it's still a pretty grunty band, you know. And it made us more determined just to be that much better, you know, because we knew we were still good, you know. Like, but it was pretty hard work, and I was so relieved when we changed it back to Shehead. Honestly, it felt like a massive weight was lifted off my shoulders, you know.
I bet. Best Shehead video?
Best Shehead video.
You're saying she had. I've been saying she had, but I always get told off for saying she had. Sorry.
Well, it's weird. It's like that's what it started off as. She had. You know, like, and then over the years, and then going to Australia, they always said she had. Like, just the accent.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Sorry,
and
I'll say she had.
But yeah, I mean, it's either. I'm easy with either. But
so favorite she had video.
Favorite she had video. I always laugh when I see the General Electric, like the one with all the, just the Matrix sort of video with all the Marshall stacks. And I was really happy that, because for some reason we were touring around that time and so was Shellac. And Steve Albini left a note on our van saying, I saw your video, hilarious, if you're ever in Chicago and want to record some stuff. I was like, gold, man. Like, I was like... Oh, if he likes it, then it's good. But actually, I just remember, well, because we'd already made a video and we weren't very happy with it. And it was just like, well, what are we going to do? And then it was just like some sort of stoned idea of just like ripping off the Matrix movie, but replacing the gun racks with Marshall stacks. And it was so ridiculous.
It
came out good. Yeah, yeah.
It came out really well.
Yeah, yeah.
So knew she had material on the way.
Yeah, we just actually had a jam for the first time in ages in York Street. Actually, in the Killing Room in Kingsland initially, the idea being that we were going to do a song for the greatest hits, but it was just like we just gave it a go. But I tend to like writing lyrics when I feel like writing lyrics, not when someone else tells me to write lyrics. So we wrote this music, which was actually mean as, so it was really good, I never got around to writing the words. So, but that's still sitting there. I think I've got some ideas now,
after summer.
Yeah.
After family time.
Yeah, but it was actually really good. I mean, because we recorded everything live, and we haven't done that for years, you know. And it felt really good, and it was also, it actually sounds really fat. So, and it was, again, quite different from the last record, which is always good about being in this band. It's always different, you know, every record, which is good.
John Toogood, it's such a treat to have you in BFM Studio. Thanks so much for coming in.
Awesome.
And congratulations on the meanest hits.
Cheers,
as well. I'm going to always read it differently now. Mean as tits. All right, I'm going to finish off. We were sort of debating what song to play because there's some that, well, you always, I think all of us always feel quite connected to She Had songs.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I reckon you play what you want.
Okay.
Go on.
I'm going to be a bit self-indulgent with this one.
Yeah, do it.
Wait and See. Sweet. This is off the Meanest Hits.